All right, let's start, everybody. So let's learn. Let's learn. Let's begin. All right, I want to share with you today. I think we're going to do this for maybe this for a few days. A new topic. Okay, everybody, so I have over here a sefer, a very chashuv sefer. It's a new sefer. Okay, everybody, so it's called Sharishay L'shoin HaKodesh. Okay, the roots of the holy language, L'shoin HaKodesh, the holy tongue. Okay, this sefer, it's a new sefer. I picked this up. I even asked you how to pronounce his name. The Mechaber's name is Yehuda Lincher.
Yeah.
You know him?
Yehuda,
Rabbi Yehuda Lincher. From reading the Hakdama, he has a Hakdama from Rav David Cohn, the Rashid of Chevron. And he has from others, who's Rosh Koilo. It appears from the Hakdamas that he's a young man, probably in his 30s, maybe in his early 40s, that's the impression I get, who has a passion for the Hebrew language. He lives in Eretz Yisrael, it would appear, and he put together a spectacular sefer. The sefer is all about... It's not in modern Hebrew, it's in Lashon Kodesh. If it was in modern Hebrew, I wouldn't be able to read the sefer. I can't. He's talking about general ideas. We're going to talk about, we're going to do a little bit of a review of what he says. He says some very interesting things. A couple of years ago, if you remember, we had a very choshev sefer in English. You remember his name? I forgot his name. We spent a few days on it. Rabbi Klein. That's right, Rabbi Klein. And Reuven Klein, he wrote a very beautiful sefer on Lashon HaKodesh in English. There is some overlap between what he wrote in English and what it says here in this sefer. This sefer is a different type of sefer, and it's a very, very comprehensive sefer. And he goes through the whole language. Yeah, he has over here a section on the shiroshim of a major chunk of the language, and in the process, he really goes through an enormous amount of material, and he has his own ideas. So I want to spend some time. So what? I didn't get that one. A root tour. Interesting. Okay. Roots. Okay. So let's now begin. Let's try to go through some of the ideas that are presented in this sefer. Let's start today, and we'll see, and we shall see how far we get. Okay, so again, let's just start with some different agadas. Let's a little background. First of all, let's understand that the language, the Hebrew language, Lashon HaKodesh, is a unique language. Now, what makes it unique? How do you differentiate Lashon HaKodesh against all the other languages in the world? What is unique about it? So just off the, let's start with one idea. Why is it called Kodesh? Why is the Hebrew, we call biblical Hebrew, why is it called Lashon HaKodesh? I am assuming that's Mila'el, and there's a segel under the Lashon HaKodesh. Why don't we call it Lashon HaKodesh? Why is it, I never heard this question before. Why is it Lashon HaKodesh versus Lashon HaKodesh? Deutsch. So here's the difference. The difference is, Lashon HaKodesh has a connotation that the language itself is sacred, versus Lashon HaKodesh, it's a language like any other language in this world, no different than English, Spanish, Portuguese, Farsi, and whatever. The only difference is this language has been designated, has been separated, put aside to be used for holy matters. If Hashem comes to you, Mr. Marillus, in a dream and has a message, what language will Hashem speak to you in?
I don't understand.
Well,
they seem close. Pretty close.
What?
They seem close. In
they're not the same. The one is called it's a lashon called etzem versus shimushi. Those are the that's the vocabulary. Shimushi means it's used. It's used for holy matters. When Hashem wants to speak to man, when Hashem spoke to Moshe, when Hashem spoke to all of the prophets, Hashem revealed himself and spoke to them in this language, in biblical Hebrew. When the Torah was written, the Torah is written. The Torah is, what is the Torah? What language is the Torah written in? In this language. We call Hebrew. I'll use the word Hebrew for now. Okay, but this is the language. Hashem, the prophecy, the communication between Hashem and man was in Hebrew. The Bible is written in Hebrew. Hebrew, that's the assumption. Are you telling me the Medrash Anochi is an Egyptian word? Okay, it's also happens also to be an Egyptian word, but the Pashto says the word Anochi is a Hebrew word. It's a biblical Lashon HaKodesh. It's a Litoitofos, Yigar Soadusa, Litoitofos. But generally, the entire Tanakh, all of the prophecy, there are exceptions, but generally the entire Tanakh is written in this language. It is the language of choice that Hashem communicates with the Jewish people, with the prophets. It says in this week's parasha, the reason why I was encouraged to study this, because this week's parasha, it says, the end of Noach, Vahi chol ha'aretz sofo achas udvarim achodim. And before Migdal Bavel, they all got together to go and rebel against Hashem to build this tower, this Migdal, whatever. Rashi tells you different interpretations of what the purpose of this tower was. And the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he dispersed them was he changed their languages. They all of a sudden started speaking 70 different languages. When you would ask a worker, give me a hammer, he would give you a brick. And there was frustration that there was no communication between the workers. So what did the person, I asked you for a hammer, you give me a brick. You took the brick and he crushed his skull. It says in Rashi, you ask your worker, give me a hammer. And he gives you a brick. You idiots. I asked you for a hammer, not a brick. He takes the brick and he kills him. So war broke out. Chaos broke out. And the Migdal was not constructed. It was interesting that if you take a long computer programming is a very big problem because there's very little compatibility. There are many different programming languages that different, every company, every bank, you know, they use to program when they do. What happens when you have a merger? Yeah, these two. Let's say you have JetBlue merges with Spirit Airlines, and JetBlue, let's say their database is Oracle, and they're using Python or they're using some type of language to do all of their work, and then they go and they merge with Spirit Airlines, and Spirit Airlines they're using some ultra high tech new programming language. I'm totally out of date with all the languages. You got a problem. How are you going to go and merge the databases of this new company? You got to pay a lot of money to some very smart people who know how to basically convert all you want to go to. And these are big decisions. And every system has its advantages and disadvantages. When you do a merger of two companies, it's very unlikely that the information that the way they store and they deal with their data is the same. It's besides the way they manage the information, the storage of the information, the retrieval, the data warehousing, not so simple. You need to pay big bucks to very smart people that can properly synthesize, can bring together. It's not so simple. And there are literally hundreds of advanced programming languages, which when you want to network with other companies, with banks and finance institutions and customers, and you're operating on different systems, it ain't so easy. This is nothing new. This is nothing new. This goes back to the model. In the model, they were building a Migdal. The whole world was participating. This was a one big global effort to build this Migdal. And they tried to get all their computer systems together to succeed. And they were able to do so because it was Sof Achas. And then somehow there was a not clear what happened. There was a lack of communication between the different elements of the people who needed to come together in order to build this, to achieve this, to participate in this project. And there was a lack of communication. And it was 70 different languages, and that was the end of that. What was the original language? The original language was Hebrew. That was the Sofa Achas. It says that La'asalavai, the Pasuk says, Ki oz ehepoich el amim Sofa virura. And Chazal say that when Mashiach will come, all of the languages will become obsolete, and we will go back to the Sofa Achas, and it will be relabeled as a Sofa virura. The world started with what's called a Sofa Achas. The end of days, it will restore. It's a Perisha Pasuk in Sefania. Ki oz ehepoich el amim, I will transform to the nations, a Sofa virura. Chazal Darsh, and that word Sofa virura is a play on the word Sofa Achas of Parshas Noach. The world started with one language, and the world will end with one language. Globalism, the great reset. The great reset has nothing to do with money. It has to do with a recognition. There will be a great reset. These people are misguided. They think the great reset means that they're going to be rich and we're all going to be poor. They will own what they say is in a couple of years, you will own nothing. And you will be happy. What they really mean to say is, what they plan is that you man will own nothing and we will be happy because we will own it all. That's really what they're trying. But there will be a great reset. And the great reset will be the Hoya Hashem Lemelech al Kol Aretz, Bayamu Yashem Echod Ushmo Echod. And that includes a Sofa Virura. Okay, so Hebrew was the original language. It was the original language, and it was the language. It's the language used by Hashem, and the language that is used by the Malachi Hashareis. Hashem communicates to the Malachi Hashareis. It's the language of prophecy. It's the language of our forefathers. Okay, that's. But so the question is what's the definition of the word Kodesh? So let's deviate for a moment and learn the Rambam. There's a very, very famous Rambam, and it's the only thing that the Rambam seems to say about the holy language, which has drawn enormous attack. The Rambam brought upon himself an incredible, lethal attack against him, because this, it appears, to be the only thing the Rambam ever said about the holy language. It's not really true. I take that back. It's not really true. He said other things, which he quotes over here, but he became under attack. He says the reason why the language is called the holy language is because There are no vulgar words. He doesn't say that. He says there's no words for things that require tzinius, the reproductive organs, the act of reproduction. There are no words in the Hebrew language that are found in Tanakh that are designated to describe the actual reproductive organs and all of their parts and the act of engaging in this activity. What? No, there are no vulgarities either. No, nothing. That's part of it. In other words, what did it say in last week's parasha? V'odom yoda es chava ishtoi. Euphemisms, borrowed words. She'ela. We take Adam knew. What does it mean he knew? You went on a date? You go on a date, all of a sudden the next day the girl tells you I'm pregnant? Well, maybe in this generation, okay, Adam Yoda, he knew her. He called her up. He said hello to her. The next thing, she's pregnant. Obviously, what Yoda means, he had marital relations. So isn't there a word that defines marital relations? No, there is no word. There is no word in this language. Every single word language in this world has words, expletives. Okay, those are really, that's a different meaning. It has words to describe certain things, vulgar, all these different types of things. Not in this language. So the Rambam says that is why it's called Kodesh. And when he says Kodesh, no, Kodesh doesn't really mean holy. In our vocabulary, we use Kodesh to mean holy. Kodesh just means that it's designated. So in this context, it means that it's designated for sacred purposes. That's it. According to the Rambam, if you take the Rambam at face value, Lashon HaKodesh has, he doesn't say that there is holiness, there is sacredness. The Chazal, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he created the world by combining letters together, which gives every letter a mystical meaning. Every letter has the secrets of the world, the way it's structured, the tzur of the letter, whether it's the tzur Lashon Ivri, Lashon Ashuri, Ksav Ashuri, Ksav Ivris, the way you pronounce it, the Havara, the Nikudas. There's nothing, it doesn't mention that there is an etzem, its essence is sacred. No, it's a convention. People got together and they decided that a sudden that to us looks like an aleph, this is an aleph, and there's a convention. We decide that there's an ah, oh, ooh, oh, this sound. Vizehu. The reason why we call it holy is because in this language there are no nasty words. There are no words. There's a sensitivity to tsnius. Things that should be covered, things that should be concealed. Okay, we live in a world today where, you know, in the government, in politics, they mamish want to open up, teach children. I mean, it's all over the country what's going on. This administration, the Biden administration, how they, even the FBI, they take the and they abuse law enforcement to pressure to remove tsnius from the world. Am I saying correct?
That's correct.
Okay, it's unbelievable how the government has weaponized the law enforcement instead of dealing with terrorists. God.
The institution of family for God, family and country. Because each one of those involves a higher allegiance than
100%. In the 2020 election, for the very first time in American history, since the founding of the Democratic Party, they removed from the convention their mission statement, the name of God. God was removed from, for the first time.
Why?
It's a Melchemes Hashem. It's offensive. God is offensive. They don't believe in God. Everything points to one direction only. Listen, it says it all. The 2020 Democratic Convention, there's a charter of what is the purpose, what is the platform of this party. So every time there's an election, it's revised. And this time it was revised deliberately to delete any mention of God. Doesn't that speak volumes? Of the agenda, doesn't that speak volumes? Okay,
and they won the election.
And they won or they stole. Oh, politics there. Okay, he was accused by our governor Hakel of being an election of the Republican candidate to be a Lee Zeldin was accused in public in front of millions of people yesterday as being an election denier. That's the dirtiest thing you can say about a person. That's the dirtiest, a climate denier and election denier. Those are the dirtiest things you can say about a person. You go January 6th, you go straight to jail for saying that publicly. You got to be very careful. Intimidation is not a volume. You're not allowed to challenge anything. You have to accept. Okay, getting back, Lashon HaKodesh is a convention. According to the Rambam, that's what it seems. There's nothing sacred about it. It's like what the Rambam says, Korbanos. Korbanos? Why would you want to slaughter an animal? Because you have the goyim do it, so we do it. Okay, what they do by the goyim has influence on us. So therefore, just do it to Hashem. Don't do it to the idol. Do sacrifice an animal to Hashem. This is a common theme in the Rambam. The Rambam is presenting Torah for the masses. Not everyone is on the Madrega to appreciate that the letter Aleph. In the letter Aleph represents the building blocks of this world, the purpose of this world. Not everyone can appreciate that. Torah called Yisrael, Yesh Lam Chelek, everyone has a Chelek in Torah. And on the simplest level, we have to understand that a korban can be just as the goyim do this to an idol, so we do it to Hashem. Nothing sacred. Likewise, language. Why is it called Lashon HaKodesh? What is the sacredness? Very simple. There's nothing special, unique about the language. It's there are no words in this language to describe reproduction. Not the organs and all of their parts, and not the act of reproduction. That itself is a revelation, that sacredness, that itself, you have a side benefit from this, is to appreciate that a dove that is holy, in holiness is tsinios, is not everything you have to publicize. There are certain things that are meant to be private. No one has to know about it. That is a chelik of kedusha. Now the Rambam has come under enormous attack, specifically by the Ramban. The Ramban says nothing doing. That's not the reason why it's called a holy language. That's a side perk. Once already it's holy, Mimela, we understand why there's no words to describe reproduction. The reason why it's called holy, it's not a shame shimushi, because if it would be a shame shimushi, like the Rambam, it should not be called Lashon HaKodesh. It should be called Lashon HaKodosh. Lashon HaKodesh, HaKodosh, Shimushi means the word Kodesh is an adjective. It's an adjective. It's not a noun. Is the language a whole? Let's look at that. We'll come back to that in one moment. According to the Ramban says the reason why it's called holy is because these letters and the way it's constructed are the building blocks of creation. It's holy in its own right. It's intrinsically excellent. It's a shame etzem. Kodesh means the language itself is holy. All other languages in the world are mundane. They are nothing more than a convention of man. Man has decided that the letter A is the letter A. This did not come from God. This is a product of the human mind. And everyone agrees, we have the letter A. We have the letter B. We all agree what it's supposed to sound like. And we then get more sophisticated. We put together the letters, we make words. It's mundane. It is a product of man. The language of Lashon HaKodesh was God's creation. And it was given as a gift to man. It's sacred and it's intrinsically holy. It's the word Kodesh is an etzem. It's the essence of the language. According to the Rambam seems to suggest that you can look at the Hebrew language as also a product of man, even though whatever that means, a product of man. And the reason why it was called Kodesh is not a shame etzem, its essence, but Kodesh means it's a description. It's descriptive. Okay, that's the word. It's descriptive. Kodesh is descriptive of the language. The language has been put aside for holy matters. When you speak, when you do holy things, davening, when you daven Shemona Esrei, it's written in Hebrew. The Mishnayos are written in Hebrew. I discovered something very interesting. Who says this? The Shloss. I never heard this before. This blew my mind. When a person is dying, and you go to visit him, no one does this today. But let's say Rachmana Litzalaylaynu, a person has reached Ne'ev Esrim. He's reached 120 years. He's 120 years old. He lived a long, productive, successful life. And now his time to leave the world has come. And they call the family, come now or never. Come to the hospital. Come wherever. They come to him. They light the candles around him. And they say, Tfila Shchiv Meira. And as he's leaving the world, they talk to him, they communicate, they say goodbye, like Yaakov Avinu. They communicate. So the Shloss says at this moment of time when a person is leaving the world, you want to finish up some business, he wants to put his house in order and give over his last will and testament and tell his children what to do and tell them where the money is, tell them the combination to the safe, tell them all the Swiss bank accounts, and tell them to get the bucket ready, put it right by his foot so he can give his zets. He should only speak in Lashon HaKodesh. When a person is leaving this world, He's expiring those last moments he has with his family, and he gives over his last messages to them, should only be communicated in Hebrew, because the Shekhinah is resting upon him. It is a sacred moment, and in moments of holiness, you only communicate in Hebrew. Okay, some hold that in Eretz Yisrael, this is obviously all very theoretical, you only speak in Lashon HaKodesh. On Shabbos Kodesh, no English, no Yiddish, no Spanish. Don't talk to the Spanish workers in Spanish. You speak to only, you speak in Hebrew. More in the Beis HaKnesses. Well,
isn't that the Lashon Kodesh of Tanakh, not Ivrit?
Right, not Ivrit. I didn't say it. I never said Ivrit. Modern Hebrew is not Lashon Kodesh. Modern Eretz Yisrael, they have what's called modern Hebrew. Modern Hebrew has very, very little to do with Lashon HaKodesh. It's a very different, it's a different language. Okay? Chashmal is one of the most sacred words in Lashon HaKodesh. It is beyond, beyond sacred. And it's a Chil Hashem, what they have done, to take that word and to use it to define electricity. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable to take Chashmal represents the Shekhinah, Mamish the Shekhinah. And you're using that word to refer to electricity? It's beyond words, beyond belief. And that's just one example. Okay, and the rules of grammar of modern Hebrew have no resemblance to the rules of grammar of Lashon HaKodesh. Okay, it's a nice experiment in language. It gives a unique character to the state of Israel, but it's not Lashon HaKodesh. Okay, people who know are fluent in Hebrew have a very hard time reading a book that's written in modern Hebrew. You may study maybe a Bucky in Tanakh, you go to Eretz Yisrael and you listen to the radio, most people will tell you they don't understand a word. You can't understand one word. You can't understand one word that you get in the taxi, get out of the airport. You say, you know, you're a person, go ask people who are experts, one Chidon HaTanach. They know biblical Hebrew and they know it inside out. And they go to Israel, sit in the taxi and listen to the radio. Can they explain what the broadcaster said? Not really. Well, And what does he say about modern Hebrew? He's fluent in both, because he's a citizen. He's an ezrach of the land. But let's say a person never grew up in Eretz Yisrael, and he sits and he's a baki in Tanakh. Will he be able to read Ma'ariv? Will he be able to read a Hebrew newspaper? Someone has once a debate. If Moshe Rabbeinu would come now, Trias HaMesim, and you would give him an Israeli newspaper, would Moshe Rabbeinu understand what it says in the newspaper? Okay, so I claimed impossible, and this fellow says no, he would understand every word that it says.
I don't know. He didn't understand Rabbi Akiva, so you're
amazing. All right, so modern Hebrew, we're talking about over here, Lashon.
Spoke, you may not understand his Hebrew anyway, because the language, the verbal language, definitely changes over years.
Absolutely, but what about even just reading the words? Okay, the modern Hebrew, I don't know anything about modern Hebrew. I have a very hard time when I read modern Hebrew. I have to go very, very slow, need a dictionary. It's hard, okay? It's hard for me. It's hard for me to read English also. It's hard for me to read Hebrew, but that is very hard. Reading modern Hebrew for me is very, very difficult. It takes a lot of practice, and there are a lot of words you have to learn. You have to certain sprach. Getting back to our discussion, so the Rambam, we have it's Shem Shemushi. According to the Rambam, when it says Kodesh, it means it's nothing more than it's been put aside for holy matters. Holy matters, as we explain, there's such a principle which we don't follow today at all, but there's such a principle, and people from previous generations were very machmir on this, is that in holy places and in holy times, you only speak Hebrew. In the Beis HaKnesses, when you communicate with your chaverim, you only speak in the Beis HaKnesses Lashon HaKodesh. When you go to Eretz Yisrael, okay, or Shabbos, on Shabbos, you change into Hebrew only. And this, I told you, Chiddush, at times when the person is dying, moment of death, it's a holy moment, you only speak in Hebrew. Shlosh says this. No one does this today. People speak in shul any language they want. People married shul whatever language they want on Shabbos, whatever language they want. You never heard by a person who's in the hospital when he's very ill. You never heard such a thing that you only talk to the doctors in Hebrew. It's written on earth.
Why you refused to speak any other language than Hebrew while he was in the yeshiva?
In the yeshiva, okay, he was a holy person, Rav Lifshitz. Rav Dov Lifshitz.
In a Hanan. Like you know, if you try to speak English, then you went like.
I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, in yeshiva. Okay, so this is the principle. Okay, so then what turns out that the word, if it's only that it's miyuchad, then the word kodosh, the word kodesh is not a shem etzem. It's a description of the language, that this language, which in essence could be mundane, has been designated, put aside for holy purposes only. If that is correct, then the proper way that we should define the language. Lashon, a language, HaKadosh, that is put aside to be holy. That is put aside for holy purposes. If you want to say the language is Be'etzen, is sacred, it's the building blocks of creation, then it's Kodesh. Kodesh has a flavor. I don't know all the rules of grammar, but the word Kodesh, Lashon, Kodesh, it has the flavor of the language itself is Kodesh, is sacred. If it's Kodosh, 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 Hashem Tzivakos, Meloi Cholaretz Kivodo, is understood to mean you are apart. You are set aside. When you say the word Kodosh, 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 it does not mean that you, Hashem, Be'etzem, are holy. I don't know if there's such a thing. There is such a thing to say. It means Hashem, you are unique. You are unique. You're in a world to yourself. We can't even relate to you. You're so holy. You are separated from us in your extreme whole, in your extreme existence. Then the language should be, if it was a descriptive term. So the very fact that you would say Lashon HaKodosh, not Lashon Kodesh. Kodesh means etzem, Kodosh means put aside. Okay, so the very fact that we call Lashon Kodesh indicates that it is holy. So this is the Ramban and the Rambam. Now there's a Ramchal. The Ramchal says there are three characteristics of this language. Number one, he says it's Kadmon. This is the Ramchal. Ramchal defines the uniqueness of this language with three words. Let me turn to the page. Kadmusoi Pashtusoi and ruch ni yusoi. What does that mean? Number one, kadmuso. It is the first language. Yeah, that in and of itself makes it unique. This week's parasha. Sofa achas. When time of the Mabul, after the Mabul, when they began to build the middle bottle, this was the only
Are you there?
In Latin, many of the Latin words, how they really come from Hebrew. It was called word, the word. Who wrote it?
Isaac Moses,
correct. Right. I used to have that book and it disappeared. How did it disappear? I don't know. But that book, it shows the etymology of Latin words to Hebrew. It's the first.
Something which is.
Sorry?
Yeah, I want to give you what is accepted today, Lashon HaKodesh. The Kodesh was the base on Migdosh. The language that was used in the base on Migdosh was different than what the language of what the people spoke. They spoke Aramaic.
So right. We'll talk about that. Aramis, we'll get that a little later on. Aramis, true, correct.
So the code of Lashon HaKodesh means the language that was reserved for the Beis HaMikdash.
Reserved, right, for the Beis HaMikdash only, correct.
The language of the sanctuary.
Sanctuary. Oh, so the Kodesh means the Beis HaMikdash.
Beis HaMikdash.
Okay, that's like what the Rambam, that is, okay, that's a different shot. Okay, that's a different idea than what we're saying. We have the Rambam, no reproductive organs, and we have the parish of the Ramban, that it's the building blocks of creation. And now you're saying another idea that the word Kodosh, Kodosh means that it's reserved for the Beis HaMikdash, exactly. Reserved for holy things. It's the language when you communicate with Hashem, when you daven, when you learn Mishnais was in Hebrew, and sacred things, it's designated for sacred matters. But according to this interpretation, it can really be that the language is a mundane language. It's a haskam asa'am. But it was designated, put aside for holy matters only. Now let's go back to the Ramchal. The Ramchal defines the Hebrew language with three terms. Number one, kadmusoi, pashtusoi, and ruchniyusoi. Kadmusoi means put aside holiness designation. It was the first language. Something that came in the beginning automatically has chashivas. This was the very first language in the world, which by definition then means that all the languages are derivatives of this language. And that itself gives it a special status. Number two, Pashtusoi. He says the language, put aside any sanctity, it's a very simple. Some will tell you there are certain languages like French. I don't know any French, but they say French has a certain sophistication. Is that true? French, what? No, there are certain languages that are accepted in the world to have a certain degree of sophistication. And that's not necessarily a good thing. That's not necessarily a good thing. It's not a kunz to go and have a very, very fancy vocabulary. Sometimes you see these young people, and they talk and they like to show off their vocabulary, and they use all of these strange words that most people don't ever use. They want to show off they're eloquent, they're orators. The truth is they sound crazy sometimes, because the proper way to communicate is not to use a fancy word, it's to use the correct word. You speak and you want to communicate. So you have a choice. There are five words you can use. So if you use four of the five, people will go home and they're going to say, wow, this guy has such a vocabulary. Unbelievable. But you know something? Those four words that he chose to use, they're very nice. They sound really sophisticated, but they're not accurate. What the person was trying to express, he would have done the subject matter justice, real justice, if he would be accurate and use a different word, which is a simple word. Even someone in third grade knows what that word is. He wanted it to sound sophisticated, so he used, you know, a nice word that has 20 syllables, and he'll get credit for by all of the sound impressive, but it's lacking precision. It's lacking precision. Now, obviously, you know, you need a balance, because if you're going to use only simple words, you're not going to sound too good. You sound like a moron. It depends, right? Everything depends. You can't generalize. There's a lot to go. There is a beauty, a yoifi, and a precision in just speaking simple words, to talk with accuracy, pashtus. Rashi, lebosi ela, to say the pshat, pashtus. So take that idea and broaden it into languages. There are all different types of languages in this world, and some of them are really impressive. They're impressive, they're sophisticated, but the language that is just raw and simple and hard-hitting, accurate, precise, is Hebrew. This is Ramchal says this. Ramchal is saying, from all the languages, the language which scores 100, a perfect score on being called, it's just very simple, very raw, very basic, very accurate, very precise.
Yeah, but still, we always have to, we're always learning layer upon layer,
It's I don't know if that's the word concise. Pashtus is this precision, accuracy, simplicity. Simplicity is not necessarily beautiful. Okay, you go buy a car. Go buy a car. So you can go buy a very, very, very fancy car and there's all the bells and whistles. And sometimes like you get it, it's too much. You don't even know how to turn on the car. Okay, the first time I drove a car that didn't have a key. Now the cars don't have keys anymore. Okay, that's a thing of the past. It literally took me 20 minutes to figure out how to turn on the car. I'm not joking with you. How do you turn on this? You press the button and it still doesn't go into park, into drive. You have to put the brake and this and this. How do you turn on this thing already? It used to be in the olden days, you put the key and then you turn and it goes, right? It goes. Push it. It used to be, remember Windows 3.1? It was so simple. Now you go Windows 11. I don't know what in the world's going on here. I don't even know how to start a program. I have now this thing, Windows 11 over here. I literally don't even know where the start button is. It took me a long time to, that's the start button. Ah, it used to be very simple. What's the complication? There is a certain yoifi in Pashtus. You're not gonna get rave reviews, but Pashtus is Pashtus. Okay, it works. It works. Yeah. Okay, we have to come to that. Okay, I hear what you're saying. You were saying it's true, but this is the Ramchal. Okay, it could be a Nechanami. I'm not coming to disagree, but I'm presenting you here. These are not my words. The Ramchal, number three, the Ramchal says, Ruch Niyusoy. The Ramchal says, like the Ramban, that the letters of the Aleph Beis are the building blocks of creation. This is not just Haskama Sa'am. It is divine. It is divine. It is sacred. The shapes of the letters and the pronunciation of the words and the nekudos, everything over here are the mysteries of God are found in these letters. So the Ramban, the Ramchal basically summarizes it in three. You want to summarize, he elaborates a lot. You want to summarize the greatness, the uniqueness of the Hebrew language, why it's called Kodesh. It's because number one, Kadmusoi, it was the first language. Number two, Pashtusoi, it has elements of simplicity, elements that are not found in any other language. Look, elements of simplicity can build to become extremely complex, but the basic building blocks are very, very poshut. And Ruch Niyuso, there is some supernatural spirituality in the language which is above and beyond. Now, I just want to add one little interesting prat to this. If you think about it, when you deal with the concept of Ruch Niyuso, every language in this world is, let's take a step back. When you describe something, there are two ways to describe something. When I look at this cup, let's say I have a tissue box, I will describe this tissue box from my perspective, okay? Based upon my life experience and my limited knowledge of this world, I will describe this box. I'll say it's rectangular. It's three-dimensional. There's pink in it and there's white and there are it's this and it's that and it's plastic. I will describe this from my perspective. You, who have a different life experience and are a product of a whole different environment, when you describe it, you're going to describe it. No two people in this room will describe this box the same way. If everyone here was given an assignment to describe this box in three sentences, every single person in the world would describe the box differently. Now, let's take this whole world and divide the world into two parts, man versus God. Language is a description of this world from the perspective of man. You have a nation, an am, and they have all come together. They have a common understanding of the world. They live in a certain part of the world. They have a certain culture, and they have enemies and friends, a country, and they all come together and they agree on a language. The language that every nation constructs is their perspective. Every single language in this world is a result of man's perspective. And they come together. Lashon HaKodesh is not our perspective. It is a perspective of God. I'll give you a moment. You talk to children. So when you talk to children, you talk their language. And if you go talk to children in your language, they don't understand what you're talking about. They have a very different language. A child, what is a child? I always tell you this joke. What is chala called in a child's mind? New. Say to a child, one-year-old child, do you want new? What does new mean in his mind? It means chala. Why does chala mean new in his mind? Because Friday night, everyone goes to wash. He's sitting in his high chair with his sippy cup and his pacifier. And what does he hear? He sees the father has the two chalas in his hand. And the father says, new. And then the father goes, Hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz, and he gives out the new. This is a fact. Go try it. Go try. Ask any kid what is new. Go try any child, one-year-old child who sits in the puts with his pacifier and sippy cup in the high chair will tell you that new is challah. Because that, so if you say to a child, do you want some challah? What? You want some new? Yeah. You know, you have to talk to a person. So what happens? People begin to try to put themselves in the shoes of someone else and talk their language in order to communicate. Okay, you have an American who goes to Eretz Yisrael and you want to go talk to the bus driver. You don't know what you're talking about. So you try to make believe, you put yourself in his shoes. How does he, what is a car called? What is change? What is a stop? So you don't know these words. You never use these words. So for the moment, you go and you try, you take out your tour book, how do you talk to a bus driver? And you try to use the words that the bus driver uses every single day that are second nature. You adapt his language, even though to you it's ridiculous and it's Chinese, you use in order to communicate. That's what Hebrew is. Hebrew is Hashem's language. We have no shaykhis to. We communicate with Hashem, his language. It's his perspective. Hebrew is the language that HaKadosh Baruch Hu constructed when he looks at this world. We don't know, we don't relate because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his perspective, sees the world a lot differently than we see the world. Every other language in this world is a language that's from our perspective. It's a language, the difference of Hebrew, it's a language that's Hashem's perspective. Hashem is defining things by knowing everything, understanding everything, and Hashem selected a word. We don't relate to that. But because we need to communicate with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we have no choice but to enter into Hashem's world and use his language. But the essence is, it is a language that is created from his perspective. Every other language in this world, which is a Haskama Sa'am, is a language that has been established from our limited perspective. It's a matter of perspective. Okay, that's an idea. That's another idea. Now, there is a very interesting thing. So we'll conclude with this. Okay, this very interesting concept. The it says in the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says, let's read the words of the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi in Masechet Hashkolim. This we learn. Daf Yomi learns this. Tana b'shem Rabbi Meir Kol Mi Shekavua be'Eretz Yisrael. Any person who lives in the Holy Land, umidaber bilishoin hakodesh, and speaks the holy tongue, the oichel peiros of b'tahara, the kari kriyashma baboik of erev, yesh mivus yehe mivusar, it will be announced to him sheben oilam habahu. There's something about living a holy life demands you also speak Hebrew. I'll give you another sifrei. The sifrei says, "V'limadetem osam esbenechem ledaber ba mikan amru." Kishatinoik maschil ledaber, when a child begins to speak. So everyone knows, what is the first thing you say, teach a child to speak? Medaber imay bilishoin hakoidesh umilamdoi Torah. When a child begins to speak, the first thing a father does is he communicates with his child in Lishoin HaKodesh. And you teach him Torah. And if you don't say Lishoin HaKodesh, it's if you buried him. Very shocking. That part of the laws of teaching Torah is to teach a child in Lishoin HaKodesh. Now here's the problem. The Gemara Masechtas Sukkah, it says as follows. It brings a Tosefta. Now, this is a third example. Okay, this is a third example of this principle. Masechta Sukkah, Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, cites a Tosefta. We already quoted a Yerushalmi. We've quoted a Sifrei. And now we're quoting a Tosefta in the Talmud Bavli. It says there, Katan Yodea Ledaber, when a child begins to know how to speak, what is the first thing you teach a child? You teach a child l'daber oviv loimdoi Torah ukriyashma ma Torah mahi amen of hamnuna Torah tzivolonu Moshe Marasha Kilas Yaakov. You're supposed to teach ukriyashma. You teach him Torah tzivolonu Moshe. Now, what it says in the Gemara Masechta Sukkah has been taken from the Tosefta. The Tosefta doesn't say this. The Tosefta says, "Katan yodei ledaber aviv loimdoi Torah b'lashoyin hakodesh." The source of what it says in the Gemara leaves out two words. That what we quote over there from the Sifrei, that aviv medaber imoy b'lashoyin hakodesh. So there's a very big mystery which many of the Mefarshim struggle with. How come the Gemara, when it quotes this Sifrei and this Tosefta, and tells us that when a child begins to speak, you talk to him and you teach him Torah Tzivolonu Moshe, and the Gemara deliberately leaves out this, what it says in the source of this halacha, that you're supposed to teach him to say Torah Tzivolonu Moshe in Hebrew. And in Shulchan Aruch and in the Rambam, when all of the Paiskim, the Torah, Shulchan Aruch, and Yerideya, and the Rambam, it brings down the halacha that when a child begins to speak, you should teach him Torah Tzivolonu Moshe, and they all omit any mention that you should teach the child to say Torah Tzivolonu Moshe in Lashon HaKodesh. There is a common theme in all of the Kadmonim that you have to live in the whole Eretz Yisrael and speak Lashon HaKodesh. When you teach Torah, you should teach only Lashon HaKodesh. That's what it says. Why then, when the Gemara took that halacha, it deleted this concept, and in the Poskim it omitted this concept? This is a very big mystery to which there really is no satisfactory answer. None of the answer really varies. The only answer they give, which the common answer is, that the Bavli was written in Bavel. The Sifrei, the Yerushalmi, and the Sifrei, the Tosefta, were all written in Eretz Yisrael. When it came to the Talmud Bavli, they had to take that halach and put it in writing. It was in Bavel. Bavel was full of idols. It was a pagan culture. It was Mole Gilulim. And there's a halacha in a place of Avodah Zarah, you're not in a Beis HaMerchatz. You're not allowed to desanctify, be mezalzel in the holy language and say it in public. So being that the Bavli, you're dealing in Bavel, and Bavel is Golos, you're living in an environment, you walk on the street, your bus goes by. What do you see on the bus? Pritzos. Going to the train, you can't even go on the train. The train, the pritzos in the train station is so unbelievable. On the posters, it's not now. Well, now all the posters, they changed the posters. Now the post only has say one thing only: vaccine, vaccine, vaccine. But before in the olden days, before there was the vaccine, the priests was just unbelievable on the posters. So in Bavel was the same thing. You can't go tell the child to say Torah Tzivolonu Moshe in Lashon HaKodesh. So the Bavli omitted Lashon HaKodesh. And the Mela, the Poiskim, the Rambam, Torah, Shulchan Aruch, followed in the way of the Bavli and omitted Lashon HaKodesh. But if not for that, the ideal thing would be to speak only in Lashon HaKodesh. Okay, there's a ton of more things we have to go through much quicker. At least today was a Hagdama, but we have to pick up a lot of things. I want to go through some very fascinating things he recites over here about this language. We'll spend on this maybe another day or two, and we're going to have to just pick up a lot of speed. Amir Hashem will continue tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.